God made you crucified on the earth, and that he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, and I believe the Jewish calendar starts a new day at 6 p.m. And I believe that Thursday would have been a high day, a holy day. And I was just thinking, the way I read and study, I believe that today was the day when we met. If it would have been, they resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week, I believe he went to the cross, but they didn't want that cross today, and then they took him down before 6 p.m. And they laid him in that tomb. So I'm thinking about that, and I just thank God that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but before he resurrected, he had to go to the cross. Had to die.
Hey.
I know he died for mine.
Hey.
I'm thankful for that. I'm not deserving it at all.
Hey.
Hey. God bless you, brother. All right, pray for these kids, boys. Enjoyed that, didn't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else may have a testimony or a song on your heart. Amen. Amen.
I was reminded of blind Bartimaeus when the Lord was passing by.
Yeah.
He couldn't see. The Lord was saving.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the fact that I sat on the second row in a Baptist church. That night, Jesus passed by me.
Yeah.
I could see with my natural eye, but the spiritual eye was blind, and brother, I did not even realize it.
What about
until that?
That
very night, hey. God spoke to my heart.
Amen.
And let me know that I was not his child,
hey.
Amen. That I did not belong to him, and it scared me flat to death.
Hey.
I mean, it scared me to death. But the moment I can say that God touched me.
Hey.
And when I got up from that altar, I not only could see with my natural eyes,
yeah.
I could see with my spiritual
Amen.
Eyes. And I thank the Lord for caring for me.
Hey.
He could have let
Amen.
Me sit there on that second row for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I would have died from a church.
God have mercy.
But I am so thankful that we have a God that loves us.
Yes.
That keeps working with us, even though we're trying to say, well, I'm okay.
Right.
I'm okay. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's telling us we're not okay,
yes.
we better do
Amen.
Something.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But I praise God. I am so thankful that he cared enough
yes.
to come to me
yes.
that night.
Bless the
and
Lord.
Let me know that I did not belong to him,
hey.
But I do now.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think there's a lot of people right there. You know that? Listen to the Lord. If God's speaking to your heart, dealing with you,
trying his best to get you to his son, to get you saved. Amen. Listen to the Lord. Obey the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for that. Someone else.
Yep. Mark, I want to thank the Lord for being good to me and saving me as a 13-year-old boy. And as Brother Carl was talking about the resurrection, and it made me think, you know, where we have pain in our body, it's hard for us to get our mind off the pain.
Right.
The pain that Christ endured, and my fleshly mind can't comprehend
how. Right. Oh, my.
I was still on his mind in that time of pain.
Right.
His body's pretty much ripped completely apart.
Oh, right. My.
And it's just hard for me to fathom that much love and how he can still have me on his mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about that. Enduring all that he was enduring.
Amen.
And still had us on his mind.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. And I listen, his body was nailed to the tree. But he was still very much God. That never changed. Are you listening to me? And where you and I can only maybe think of a handful of things at a time, he could see us all. I mean, that's the sovereign God that knows everything, that sees everything. That's amazing. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. Y'all come on. If you had a song. Amen. Obey the Lord tonight.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would send his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of sin.
think of all my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled at the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own. Yet every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the green I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-pierced hands that bore my liberty. I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give.
Amen.
A ruined life is all I had to offer. And yet, it was a priceless gift to Him.
Amen.
The bitter mark of sin, His blood has washed
Amen.
Away. Now I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-pierced hands that bore my liberty. I stand redeemed. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-pierced hands that bore my liberty. I stand redeemed.
Thank God for that. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Someone else may have a testimony or a song. Anybody?
Amen.
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 Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Amen.
That's right.
Just left it with Him. Trust to the Father.
Hey.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
May God always take one of them. But I've had
what we want by faith and not by sight. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't like to say, you know, sometimes you may not feel, you know, like, are you wrong or are you? He said what He said.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. All right, Brother Wells, would you come on and preach for us? Pray for Brother Wells tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Hey. Amen. Y'all glad to be here, I hope.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be reading from the book of Romans, if you will, tonight, Romans 8. I want to be studying there with you for a moment. But I was thinking when Carolyn was testifying tonight about her getting saved, and there sat Brother Caleb beside her. And, of course, y'all do know he's my grandson. I'm disowning him. No, not really. But I want you to listen to me a moment. I want you to listen to me a moment. I was preaching at Andy's, where Brother Caleb goes, a couple of three years ago. I can't remember what it was. And Carol got and gave her testimony, and then after that, then I preached afterwards. And that night, there was a young man in that church named Matthew Langston. Get it right? Matthew Langston. And Matthew, how old was he? He was probably 28, 30, mid-30s. And Matthew had been a member of that church for a long time. Matthew came down that night to pray. I just said, well, I guess you come to pray. And Matthew came down and prayed and got up and said he got born again, got saved. God dealt with him through that whole meeting. God saved him. And he's a member of that church. I don't know how long. Matter of fact, y'all know, don't even mention that. But he was a brother-in-law to my granddaughter, Victoria. But nevertheless, here's the thing about it. Got saved on Sunday night. Less than a year, he's dead. Less than a year, he died. I mean, he just barely got in, buddy. He just barely got saved, barely got in. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to be saved, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When I get down to pray, I mean, I don't know if I do this every day. I try not to be mechanical. A lot of things I say, same thing sometimes. But when I get down to pray, I'm telling you, I thank God for the cross.
Amen.
I thank God for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And see, every one of us, I don't care who we are, we got to have a sacrifice if we're going to go to glory and we're going to get our sins forgiven. We have to have a sacrifice. We have to have a sacrifice. Adam and Eve didn't get out of the garden without a sacrifice. They had to have one. You're not going to go to heaven without a sacrifice. And I thank God every day that God accepted Jesus as my sacrifice. Well, the Bible said when Jesus, the last thing he said, Luke 27:46, I think it is. And Jesus said, the Bible said when he had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Remember that?
Right.
In thy hand. Now, don't you listen to what I'm telling you now. He said, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible said he bowed his head and gave it the ghost. Now, listen. Just two or three statements before that, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you get the connection? He said, why have you forsaken me? And the last thing Jesus said was, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And if he committed himself in the Father's hands, then the Father had already accepted what he did.
Yeah.
He had already accepted what Christ did. You ought to thank God that God accepted what Jesus did in your behalf.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful God and wonderful Savior. Y'all love him, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I do too. I love him. I appreciate so much what he's done for me. All right, I want you to open your Bible if you hadn't already done so. Open it to Romans 8, if you will. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 and Romans chapter number 8. Y'all stand, if you will, find your place, if you're able, and we'll reverence God's Word and move through. Now, I'm going to be taking a little different turn in Romans 8 than what you might have already heard along the way. But I want to look at it and try to give us an application for our own lives tonight. Romans 8, verse number 1. Now listen carefully. This is a great verse. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, keep your eye on there. Let me show you this now. All right, so this no condemnation is only for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Y'all see that? Now, that don't mean in the church. That don't mean in the baptistry. That don't mean gathered with Christian friends. It means in Christ. In other words, you get born again, you are placed in Christ, right?
Right.
Now, watch it now. Now, that's the first stipulation. There's no condemnation. He said, no condemnation to them which are, number one, in Christ. Then second stipulation, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Question, have you ever walked after the flesh since you've been saved? Then you are apt to have felt condemnation. That's right. Because, see, the no condemnation is for them that walk after the Holy Spirit. And that's what that verse is saying now. All right, so let's look at verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, in other words, they do mind the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now that's all I read. You be seated if you will. I will have prayer with you. Then we're going to try to explain a few little things here and trust God will make it real to our heart. Now, Lord, I want to thank you again that the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and that, Lord, your ears are open to their prayers. So I want to thank you, Lord, for hearing us tonight. I will thank you, dear Lord, for knowing our hearts, knowing where we are, knowing what we need, and, Lord, and being willing to meet those needs. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm begging you with all my heart to fill me full tonight. Lord, I'm asking you that you would control my thoughts. Pray you'd control my spirit. Pray you'd control my motivations, every part of me. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to control me tonight so that you can get all the honor and all the glory. Now, Father, these things you put on my heart, I'm going to ask you to make them so real and so clear, so vivid to us, Lord, that our Father, that we would clearly understand what you're wanting out of us and God and what you want to do for us. Save those that are unsaved. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. So now, I want to give you something I don't normally do, but I'm going to give you a little outline of Romans 8 in the light of how I'm seeing it at this point. And but I'm going to do it to you backwards. I'm going to go from the bottom back up to the top of the chapter. So now, I want you to look at verse number 35, will you? So now, verse 35, Romans 8, 35. Said this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril of the sword? Or y'all listen to me now. All right, so that's what I'm trying to tell you. So since you've been born again, well, you know, everyone should say, yes, Jesus loved me. He died on the cross for me. I'm glad he loved me enough to save me. Right. Amen. So let me ask you this. Have you had a time in your life where something was going haywire and it didn't look like anything ever fit, and the thought came to your mind, I wonder if Jesus really does love me? Now y'all go ahead and laugh if you want to. But every single one of us at one point or another, when things was going all twisted up and warped, we wondered, why is this happening? Looks to me like if Jesus really loved me, all this stuff wouldn't happen to me. So here's what I saw here. In Romans 8:35-39, there is a struggle about security. Sometimes God's people that are born again, they struggle over security, especially when things are going wrong and they can't really see or feel that Jesus loves them, so they struggle with security. Y'all see that? All right, so now, look at verse number 28. Now, this is a verse we all know, and probably know it probably better than nearly as good as John 3:16. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Did y'all hear that now, really? Did y'all really hear that? All right, so we know that all things work together for good. So now I'll ask you this. So have you had any bad things happen to you? I mean, any really bad, bad stuff. Yeah. All right. So now in time when you got bad, bad stuff happen to you, can you see, all things work together. Matter of fact, there are some things that happened in my life. I wondered, how can this be working together, you know, for my good? How about that? You ever felt like that? You ever thought that way? All right, so here is what we have in verses 28 through 34. There's a struggle over the sovereignty of God. And now we know God is sovereign God. What does that mean? Basically, for our thinking, when we say sovereignty God, we mean God's on the throne. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he's not going to ask you about it. Amen. And so in a nutshell, that's what amounts to. But now, so sometimes there is a struggle in our heart over the sovereignty of God and over the sovereign things God is doing in our life. Amen. I don't want to bring up anything terrible or bad, but y'all, I'm sure you got your own illustration. Now, go back to verse number 19, if you would. Let me read this verse. I'll show you something else. Now, in verse number 19 to 25, there's a section here of Romans 8, and notice verse number 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that means me and you, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So we know God's going to relieve all this stuff someday, right? We know it's going to come. We know that God's going to heal all the creation. And sometimes we have a little suspense in our heart and mind about when he's going to come. So now, sometimes we struggle with some suspense in our heart and life. All right, so now, here's where we're going. Look at verse number 6 and verse number 13. Now follow these verses, and this is where we're going to be going. Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is, what's the word? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right? Now, drop down to verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall, what's the word? Die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall, what's the word? You shall live. So now, here is what I want to deal with tonight. Verse number 1 to verse number 18. Now hear me well. Here's how I'm seeing it. In verses 1 through 18, then we're seeing the children of God struggle just to survive. Well, this is what I'm telling you. I wonder how many are sitting here tonight in this meeting, and nobody knows it but you. Nobody knows what you're thinking. Nobody knows what goes on in your heart and mind. But in reality, you are struggling just to get by. I don't mean financially. I don't mean that. I mean, I've known people that, I've had people in my ministry. Something happened between me and them, and sometimes I don't even know what it was. And they got so irritated with me, they would sit in the congregation and they would struggle. And it would be like they would be saying, how long am I going to be able to take this man's preaching? How long am I going to be able to sit here and listen to this? And, or maybe like this, maybe there's somebody that got into it with somebody else in the church. They had a fuss, they had an argument, and so they get into it, and they never can get it reconciled. Matter of fact, I had a boy tell me the other day that there was something happening in his church 18 or 20 years ago, and they tried to get it right. But one of the ladies in the church said this to her pastor recently. She said, that happened a long time ago, but she said, I just can't get over it. So here's what she was saying. She's saying, this issue, I am really struggling just to survive. I'm struggling to sit here and see that other person come in. I'm just struggling. I'm struggling over this battle that I'm going through. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what I've seen. I've been there so long time. I've seen this over these years, that when men and women, boys and girls, they start struggling, especially in the spiritual matters, and they're not getting victory, there will come a day when they say, I've had all I want. I don't want to battle anymore. Goodbye. I've seen that over and over and over again. When people start struggling, they reach a point when they say, I can't take it anymore. I'm out of here. I am gone. So now, with that said, I would ask you tonight, what are you struggling with? I mean, you might be like some others that have testified tonight. You might be struggling with your salvation. You may be battling that. I mean, one day you may feel saved, the next day you may not. One day you may feel like you've got total victory. The next day you may wonder if victory is even possible. And you struggle and battle with these things along the way. So now, let me show you a couple of things here, and let's move on. Now, I want you to follow, if you will, in the scripture, and let me show you in some of these verses how this struggling manifests itself. Look at verse number one. So it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus. Well, that condemnation is like a heavy, heavy guilt over us when we've done something wrong. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been, or are you there now, without no answers? Sometimes this struggle manifests itself over this condemnation. One moment, I feel like I'm forgiven of my sins. I have no condemnation. And then I do something wrong. And then when I do something wrong, then condemnation sets in. And I can't get over that condemnation. Y'all with me now? So that's a battle. So there's a struggle. I don't want this, by the way. If you remember being under conviction when you got born again, the moment you got saved, you were elated that the heavy, heavy stuff was off your back. Amen. So here's how it manifests itself. Sometimes it manifests itself with a struggle with condemnation. And look at verse number two. Almost the same. Look at verse two. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Now watch this carefully. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, look what it did, had made me free from the law of sin and death. So when I got saved, do I have victory? Oh yeah. I mean, I am just elated with the victory God has given me. Amen. But now something happens. Something happens along the way, and I lose the victory. And so now then I'm struggling. I know when to raise my hand. I know when to say amen. Amen. I know when to hug somebody's neck, and I know when to shake their hand and say, boy, it's good to see you, your brother and sister. But down inside my heart, I am beat to the ground. I am as low as you can get. I'm struggling to have victory in my heart. Y'all grab that? All right, so look down at verse number six. So here's another area it manifests itself. For to be carnally minded is, there it is again, death. But to be spiritually minded, it's life and peace. So now then, here's what's going on. I'm struggling now between life and peace. Amen. Do I have life? Now, I don't mean being saved, but do I have abundant life, or do I have peace? And by the way, I'll guarantee every single one of us that's born again, we spent some days when we did not have peace of heart and mind. True. So in that, then we're struggling. So what's happening is the struggle is surfacing in our life when we start struggling over victory and defeat. So now move on, if you would, please, to verse number eight. So now, verse number eight. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Whoa. Are y'all please listen to me now. So is it an automatic thing for a born again child of God to want to please God? Do I get some? I got a few responses. Is it a normal thing for a born again child of God to want to please God? Yeah. Then have you had times when you didn't? So now, here's what you're struggling now. You're struggling now with whether I have pleased God, whether I have not pleased God. Those that are struggling, a battle going on in the heart and mind, have I pleased God, have I not pleased God? Oh, I failed him there. Will God ever forgive me for failing him there? So the struggle and the battle keeps going on. Now, look at verse number 13. So, yet 13. Whoa, my. This is a powerful verse. It said in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, here comes another battle. And the battle now is, am I following the flesh or am I following the Spirit? Are y'all grabbing any of that?
Yes.
Am I following the Spirit or am I following the flesh? So now, that struggle is there. So it manifests itself in different ways. Now then, let me give you a definition and then I'm going to move on. So when I'm talking about struggling, I don't even know if I gave you the right title. I'm talking about struggling just to survive. So what does the word struggle really mean? Here's what I come up with. The word struggle means to have a difficulty or something that you're striving with or laboring with. Now, again, let me rehearse this briefly and just show you some how you can define this. Number one, just rehearsal what I just said. Number one, you can define it with struggling over condemnation. And by the way, look at verse number 2. I'll read this again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin. So now then, it is struggling over who's going to control. Hey, you better hear me now. See, the struggle I'm talking about, the struggle to survive, is a struggle over who is going to control your life.
Right.
Who is? Who's going to control your life? Now, you say, they ain't nobody control me. Look, you know, when I hear somebody say that, then here's what I know. I know that they don't even see it yet, but Satan is in control of their life. See, your own flesh is not going to control you. It's going to be the powers of darkness that use your flesh to control you if the Spirit of God is not doing so. So now, there is who's going to control you, what's your conduct going to be, you're going to be carnal and spiritual, and what have you. Now, I want to show you a couple of things here and move very rapidly. So now, I want to show you this now. So, I'm not a mind reader, so I can't tell what you're thinking. But from the looks that I'm getting from the pool, from looking at you, I'm seeing looks like maybe there's some hearts and minds out there that are in a struggling situation. You want to continue, but there's something that would like to escape the battle that you're in. Now, let me say this to you. What, and I'm getting to it, but what would be the benefits if I gain victory over the struggle that I'm in? What would be the advantage? What would be the dividends that God would give me if I got victory over whatever I'm struggling in? Number one, look back at verse number 1 again. Verse number 1. There's there therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So here's how I want to put it. For verse number 1, if I get victory over whatever I'm struggling in, it leaves me with an absolute solid security. So is that important? All right, let me ask you this. What if you started having heart pains in your chest right this moment? What if this very moment, you say, well, young people don't have that. I've known young people to die of heart attacks. Yeah. So what if right this moment that your heart started acting up strangely and you felt, what has happened to me? Am I going to die now? What if there's something happened to you that made you think you're going to die? Would you have security now? Would you be assured that you're going to go out here to heaven? Well, so some would, some wouldn't. But here's the point now. When there is no condemnation in my heart and life, it leaves me with a sense of security. I am God's, I am in God's hands, and God does all things well and all things right. So now, watch verse number 2 now. So number 1, there's a dividend of security. Now watch verse number 2. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So here's the second dividend. Will y'all hear me now? The second dividend is called liberty. It's called liberty or freedom. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't mean to be mean or ugly, and I don't mean to even sound judgmental. But since I started preaching on Sunday morning, and y'all shouted out, had a good time, and it was good. We enjoyed that. But when I started preaching on Sunday morning, I saw your attitude, and some of y'all start changing. Now, I don't have no idea what's happening. I have no idea what's working in hearts and minds. But here's what I know. You don't have liberty. You don't have freedom to feel the way you'd like to feel. You don't have freedom to express what you'd like to express. Now, why? It ain't my fault. All I've done is give you the straight word of God. All I've done is just tell you straight what God said in that word. See, and here's what the Bible said. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Yeah. See, and by the way, you better never take worked up emotions as liberty of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It is not the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Neighbor, when emotion get worked up, it's not. But here's what God does. When the struggle has been dealt with in my heart, God gives me liberty. Hallelujah. Liberty to testify. Liberty to pray. Liberty to worship God.
Amen.
Do you have liberty? Has God given you liberty? Or are you struggling with something that's robbed you of liberty?
Right.
Watch verse number 4. Now, look at verse number 4. So, I'll try to explain this well. See it. So, verse number 4. He said now that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, how would you like to face the law of God? I mean, how would you like to stand before God and God drag out the Ten Commandments and have you to face the Ten Commandments just the way you are? Not me. I'm not interested in that. Are y'all? No. But look at verse number 4. Look what God said. He said, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in me. Oh, y'all, you ought to grab that one. You ought to grab that one. In other words, since now I'm in Christ, the law has been fulfilled in me through Christ.
Amen.
Let that grab you, dear friend.
Amen.
Yeah, so here's the idea. See, and that is, there's been something. God gives me a sense of accomplishment. Now, watch verse number 6 now. All right, so look what he said. For the carnal mind is enmity. No, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now watch this now. So here's the battle going on. When the battle's going on, I tell you one thing you don't have. You don't have peace in your heart when the battle is raging. But when the battle's settled, here's what I've got. I've got life and peace. Now, what did Jesus say about that? He said, I've come that you might have life. But he identified that better by saying, no, he said, I've come that you might have life. You might have it what? More abundantly. So here's what he's saying. When I've got the struggle settled, I've got the life in me that's abundant, joyful, full, exciting life in my heart because the struggle is settled.
Amen.
Now then, but I've got peace.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Peace like a river. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me see if there's anything else. Look at verse number 8. I want you to look at verse number 8. It's worth looking at. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So wait a minute now. See, when I'm in the flesh, the struggle is going on. When I'm in the flesh, I'm fighting the flesh. The battle is raging. I don't have life and peace. But when the battle is over, here's what God said. They in the flesh cannot please God. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells?
Yeah.
Listen. Have you ever done anything that you knew pleased God?
Surely.
Have you? Yes, sir. All right, so I don't want to answer. But can you remember something exact? I don't mean general. I mean something exact. I'm not going to ask you to tell it. Don't worry. But have you ever done anything that you know that pleased God? Then how did you feel? What's the word good mean? But I'm just kidding us now. All right, so how does it feel to please God? What'd you say, Carl?
I said peace and joy.
And when you do something that God is pleased with, I mean, he's giving you instruction or giving you leadership to do something, and you do it. Here's what it's like. It's like the great God of heaven pulls up close to you, wraps an arm around you, and says, "Atta boy." Amen. Have you not ever stood and testified in church and God was bumping your heart and told you to testify?
Yeah.
Huh? And you got up and did it? How'd you feel?
Good.
Yeah, why? Not because somebody heard your voice, but you felt that way because God had told you and you obeyed. You pleased God in doing that.
Yeah.
Oh. And here's my point. See, when the battle is over, I'm over the struggle, and the battle is over, I am in a state in which I sensed the favor of God.
Yeah.
Have you not ever felt God's favor? Oh, y'all not ever felt the favor of God on your life? Oh, this ain't nothing big, but it was to me that day. I don't know what y'all do in North Carolina, but you know, once a year you got to pay your property taxes, you know, before last day of February or something like that. So I've been busy traveling the road, and so had my payment ready to go, but no time to do it. I'm sitting at my desk the other day. God said, "Larry, go pay your taxes now." I got the payment out, jumped in the car. Went out of the courthouse, went in the courthouse, walked right up to the window. Payment taxes. Before they could even get the paperwork done, there was a line behind me that went down the hall and down that hall too. When I'm standing there, I said, "Lord, I want to thank you for your favor." That don't mean much to you. But it was just that little presence of God that said, "You are in my favor." Hallelujah. Nothing like being in the favor of God. But you cannot be in the favor of God as long as that battle and struggle is going on in your heart and life. Amen. Y'all see that? I don't know, maybe you're not even interested in having God's favor. I tell you I am. I wish God sent me your part. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, I want to show you this and I'm done. All right, so I really cut this thing short tonight, trying to make it as simple as I can. So now, look here. Every one of us knows what a battle's like, right? We know what a struggle is like. Some of you may or may not know what it's like to get the victory over the struggle. But what a joy when the struggle has ended and we're in the favor of God, in the communion of God, and God is blessing us with His divine presence. What a blessed thing. So now let me ask you this. How do you get there? How do you get there? All right, so go back to verse number one. All right, so verse number one. All right, so I want you to see what he says here now. All right, so, I mean, all the way verse one down to verse number 18, he struggle, just fine. But now, how am I going to get to where there is, that the struggle is over, the battle is over? Now, watch what he said. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are y'all listening to me today? All right, now watch this now. All right, so has anybody here ever got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and you finally got waking up standing on your feet? Without you even thinking about it, did your leg go? Did it? Yeah. No, it didn't. I'm going to tell you why. Your legs are not going to move unless your brain makes a choice for them to move.
Right.
Might as well say amen.
Right.
The legs are not going to move without your choice. You're not going to walk nowhere without your mind, making your mind up, a choice that you are going to make a step here and go where you want to go. So, what's the application here? Number one, if you're ever going to win the struggle and win the battle, you're going to have to make a choice for the right path. You better hear that and hear it well. If you say, well, Jesus died on the cross for me, paid for my sin, now I'm saved. No, it don't work like that. No, it don't work like that. Nobody ever got born again without a choice. Nobody gets saved without making a choice. Christ is what I want. I want His salvation. I want His life. It's a choice. Now watch this. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation than they which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the stipulation now. Who what? Who what? Who walk. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So here's the choice. I've got to make the right choice to walk in the right path. If you make a willful choice to walk in the wrong path, your struggle will never, ever, ever, ever end.
Right, right, right.
Do y'all support any homes? Do y'all support any men's homes or women's homes? All right, so you support Fairhaven. All right, So I read Brother Jeff's letter the other day. He said they've had over 300 men come to the program. Are y'all listening to me now? All right, so there was a missionary from Rock of Ages, and his wife left him, and he started drinking. He started drinking, and he enrolled in the Fairhaven ministry. And it looked like he got help, but he left the home. And the last time I saw him at Brother Sammy Allen's camp. I called him by name, and I said, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing good. Have you dealt with a drinking problem?" "Well, I'm working on it." Year before last, I asked about him. They said, "You didn't know?" I said, "No." I said, "No, he died." You know why he died, Brother Lee? Here's why. He would not make up his mind to walk the right path. He wanted a little liquor or something in him to make him forget what he had gone through. You absolutely must make your mind up. I'm going to choose the right path. If nobody goes with me, I'll go by myself. You better listen. You better listen to this old man, buddy. You would be better off walking alone by yourself in God's path than you would having 10 dozen friends that want to pull you in the wrong way. I'm telling you, bro, that's right. So, see, the number one, here's the number one thing. If I'm going to get victory over what I'm dealing with, over the struggles I'm battling with, I've got to make the choice. Jesus, you are what I want. Jesus, your pathway is the one I want to walk. Jesus, your Holy Spirit is the one I want to obey. Lord, I want to walk in the right path in the name of Christ.
Amen.
But you feel it, don't you? You feel it, don't you? You feel it. You feel it pull you that little way. You know what I'm saying is right. You know what I'm saying is the right thing. But you feel it, don't you? It's pulling. Pulling to you. I got a little boy at the church where I attend. When I'm not preaching. He's got hair down about right here. I might have told this. I don't know, but I'm going to tell it again. He's got hair down right here. And he, of all things, his name is Axel. Not Grease, just Axel. It's his name. So, went to the altar one night. I was there. I was praying. I said, God, show me somebody here while I'm here that I can be a blessing, be helped to. So, Axel got up. He was sitting beside me. He got up and he went to the altar that night. He stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. And after a while, he'd come back. And I put my arm out and said, Axel, is there anything I can pray, I pray to you about? He said, no, I'm just praying for my family. But he wasn't just praying for his family. But I want you to get this now. One of the brethren asked him the other day, he said, Axel, why don't you get saved? Oh, he said, I got plenty of time for that. Oh, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time for that. I got plenty of time. Oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. And I'm not going to take time to say it, but I got an illustration in my mind right now of young people I know who said no to God. I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. I'm thinking about one boy right now. I'm thinking about one boy right now. He said he got saved at our church and he's trying to outrun the law one night and went by his mother's house out wide open up the road and a police car right behind him and went on by her and she saw the chase and up the road there was a curve. And the police car bumped his bumper to stop the chase. Went to heaven, went out there. You know why? Here's why. He wouldn't make the choice to walk the right pathway. I'm telling you, brother. See, the battle's awful. But the victory's sweet. Yeah, hallelujah. The victory is blessed, but the battle is awful until you make your choice.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let me show you another thing too here, and we'll plug away and do something. All right, so notice if you would please. As a matter of fact, I could preach on that a while more, but let's look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. So the Bible said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things that are the Spirit. Now, well, I want to show you something. Now, listen to me carefully. For they that are after, see the word after? All right. So that word after means this. As a matter of fact, it's the same as for the flesh as for the Spirit, and it means this now. It means under the influence of. Yeah. Now this one said, he said, they that are under the influence of the flesh, what do they do? All right, here's what that means. That phrase, they mind the things of flesh, that word means this, that they have set their whole moral and fiber to walk after the flesh.
Right.
Yeah. So wait a minute, here's what I'm going to try to say now. So now there's a choice here between flesh and spirit. So they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. How blessed the Holy Spirit is. He is the predator. He is the, look, oh, listen. But the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all remember that, don't you? Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit, say it. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are those gentle words? But the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the flesh is lust, envy, strife, anger, malice. Oh, you know what Josh showed me that? He said, come in. He said, boy, I mean, he hadn't even a chance to wash his face. And he's telling me about it. He said, I know the job. And he said, I nearly saw, I mean, a real fist fight today. Oh, I know what that was. That was the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that was the fruit of the Spirit. You know, after all, God understands that we're made of flesh. And he knows when we need to blow our top. No, I'm sorry. God don't know that. No. He expects you, if you're born again, to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So in a nutshell, here's what I want to try to say. God wants me to choose the right passion. So I want to have a passion for the flesh. Oh. I just can't wait for that television to come on. So, yeah, that program. So I can see him and her wrap their naked arms around one another. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. And he wants me to choose the right passion. That right passion is the Holy Spirit. Hey, don't listen to me. Do you not understand that the Holy Spirit is a person of Jesus inside you? My wife tells me every morning, I love you. You know what I tell her? Not me. No, I didn't say that. I tell her every morning the same thing. Every night before we go to bed. I wish you could hear it. But she tells me every night, and I'll tell her every night, I love you. Now, that's my words. But what if I could take my spirit that really loves her? And what if I could take my spirit that feels the way I feel about her and put it in her? Could she not really feel then my passion? Well, I've got the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside me. And I've got His passion in me. He loves me to walk at the Holy Spirit. He wants me to walk and do what's right. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer. How long has it been since the Holy Spirit spoke to your own heart? How long has it been since the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart? You profess to know Him, don't you? How long has it been? He wants you to choose the right passion. Now, drop down to verse number 12. Let me go quickly. I'm preaching too long. Look at verse number 12. I believe I got this right. Does it say, therefore, brethren? All right, look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are, say the word.
Debtors.
We're debtors. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. Not to the flesh, to live that flesh. Well, if we're not debtors to the flesh, what are we debtors to? Let me tell you. Now we all know this. I know. Now I technically I might need to be corrected technically, but here's just how I saw this. The word debtor. If you look that word debtor up in verse number 12, it means delinquent. So what does the word delinquent mean? It means behind. That don't mean you're pushing the car. But that means you've not made some payments here. So the word debtor here means delinquent. So I'm a debtor Christ. Yeah, that's who I'm a debtor to. I'm a debtor of God. Am I behind on my payments? Yes, I'm way behind. I'm way behind on my payments for Him. And you ain't never going to say, that's one thing you won't never pay for is your salvation. That's why, you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to be thanking Him eternally and eternally and eternally for saving your soul.
That's right.
So here's the point now. So God says, if you want victory here, you better choose the right path. You better choose the right passion. You better choose the right attitude. Y'all listening now. So now, drop down your reading to verse 13, will you? I'm going to say this and I'll be done. Look, drop down to verse 13. Oh, my goodness. I'd like to preach some more, but I can't right now. Are y'all looking at it? All right, so, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall say it,
die.
But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall
live.
Hey, that's that abundant, joyful, full life that God wants you to have. So here's what God wants. God wants me to choose the performance here that I want to do. Do I want to perform after the flesh, or do I want to go after the Spirit? You better listen to this. You better listen to this old guy. Have you ever felt the joy of God in your heart?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt the sweetness of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt His arm around you saying, "Atta boy"? Sure you have. Watch what the Bible said. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Now, don't answer. Does that mean if I live after the flesh, I'm going to go to hell? Is that what he's talking about here? No, he's talking about brethren. If I live after the flesh, something is going to die in me. Something is going to die. My joy is going to die. My love is going to die. My zeal is going to die. My prayer is going to die. My Holy Spirit is going to die in my soul if I say I'm going to live after the flesh. I'm going to be a dead man walking. Where'd that phrase come from? You said that. Somebody did. I'm going to tell you, that's what a lot of us Christians are. We're Christians like dead men walking.
Amen.
We got no joy. We got no life.
Amen.
Yeah, no joy, no thrill. You have to pump and prime and beg and threaten to get the FBI out to get them out of the house to get to church. You know why? For a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people can't come. But for the most part, it's called flesh. Most parts called flesh. We choose to walk in what pleases the flesh. And somebody said, well, I can worship God at home as well as can at church. You know what? That's probably true. Y'all ain't thought that through yet, have you? That's probably true. But you're not going to worship God in the Holy Spirit sitting home watching television when the house of God neighbor's trying to have a service. You know what that's called? That's called making a choice to walk in the flesh. And God said, something is going to die. But if you walk in the Spirit, what do you say? Shall live full life, abundant life, thrilling life. I'm going to say this and I'm done. Whatever you're struggling with, I don't care who you are, what you're struggling with, you're living in either part A or part B of Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, your life is going to be miserable. It's not going to be happy. You're going to try to get the flesh, enjoy the flesh when you get out of here. But every time you come back to church, you're miserable as a dog. You can't wait, neighbor, till the bell rings and you can go home. You know why? Because you made a choice for the flesh and you're dying, 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 dying. You make a choice for the Spirit. God makes life worth living. Yeah. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm done. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, I'm going to tell you the base cause. It's your flesh. The base reason is your flesh. I don't care who you are, what you are. The base reason for what you're going through is your flesh. You say, but you don't know this tragedy happened. Look here. The tragedy is not the problem. It's how you respond to it. Amen. Oh, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit will give you the help you need to respond to it properly and to accept whatever God says I want in your life. Flesh. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being telling the truth. I just quoted that scripture, Romans 8:13. If you would be halfway honest in your own heart, say, yep, that's the reason. Flesh. Flesh. I'm not doing what the Holy Spirit would have me do. I'm doing what the flesh wants me to do. Therefore, here I am, struggling. Just to try to stay in there till I can get some victory. But I've known numbers and numbers of people that couldn't stay till they got the victory. The battle got so hard, they kept yielding to the flesh. And they totally left. So just like my friend that died, Missionary Rock of Ages, just like him. The battle was too strong. He thought, well, really it wasn't. He just wouldn't look to God, let God deal with his problem. I was preaching in church the other day. Listen to me. I know where it is now. I mean, I was trying to figure out where it was. I was preaching in this church the other day. I met this boy about 4 or 5 years ago, met him at camp meeting. He was pastoring a little church then, up in the mountains in North Carolina, somewhere or another. I started praying for him. I'd send him a text every now and then to encourage him. And I lost kind of contact with him. And I was preaching in the church the other day, and he walked up to me, and I said, now, what's your name? He gave me his name. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. He said, I said, you're not pastor anymore? He said, no. He said, preacher, my wife walked off and left me with my two boys. Walked off and left me. You know what he did? He resigned his church and joined a church that preaches God's word, supports him and stands with him. And he's raising them two little boys. You say, boy, that's awful. Well, it might be awful. Here's what he's done. He made a choice for the right path. And he's driving a brand new truck. Oh, yeah. God's blessing him. And I don't mean a little Ranger. Sorry. He's driving one that pulled my little Prius all over the county. But here's what I'm saying. His battle was strong, but he made the right choice. And he's still happy, still joyful in the Lord. But some of you're not. Some of you sad as you can be. You don't enjoy nothing but sin and flesh in the world. You've got no joy when you come to the house of God. None. It don't show up anywhere on you. You know why? You're making your choice for flesh. And you're dying, 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 dying. The battle's strong. The battle's hard. But I'm telling you right now, the victory is exceedingly wonderful. If you're willing, choose the right path. And that's Jesus and his way. Amen. Choose the right passion. Choose the right performance. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Now, I wish sometimes God would let me tell some of the things that he's let me experience fellowshipping with him. I wish God let me. God won't let me tell it. It'd be like bragging if I did. But I'm telling you, God has so much to offer you.
Amen.
Oh, my God. He's got a world to offer you in this life here.
Amen.
So much to offer you.
Amen.
If you'd yield your life to him.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, I thank you for your help. I thank you for the Word of God that never changes. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant. And Lord, that book that, Lord, we're going to have to face and give an account to God for. Father, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would move with might and power. Help your children, Father. The Lord that just desire to get out of this battle by doing what's right. Not going the wrong way. Please speak to hearts. We'll love you and we'll honor you for it. Well, if the Lord spoke in your heart, I hope you'll obey.